Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez from Good to Be Social. And today we're going to talk about letting your geek flag fly. We're going to be talking about how you can use technology to enable both legal marketing, which is so, so important, but also for client service. Our guest today is a very good friend of mine, Kate Boyd. Kate is a 25-year veteran of the legal industry. Kate started her career at law firms Sherman and Sterling, and then she went to White and Case. Kate completed her MBA at NYU in 2014. She then took her business and legal experience to several high-growth legal tech vendors, including HiQ and Kira Systems. And then in 2018, Kate co-founded the litigation fund Validity Finance, where she served as the COO before joining Senta in 2022. Kate is active on the boards of the leading legal ed tech company, Alta Claro, and she is also active in the board of immigration for nonprofit immigration law and justice in New York. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Thanks, Guy. It's nice to be here with you.
Pleasure to have you, as always, and thank you for joining us. I know how busy you are. So, Kate, before we dive into the topic, which is a fascinating topic, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Like, why did you decide to go into the legal industry? And you've had an interesting evolution, first at law firms, then at legal tech companies, then litigation finance. Now you're back with technology. Tell us a little bit about what you've learned so far in your pretty wide and varied career.
So I fell into the legal industry. I tease my kids that nobody sitting in middle school says, oh, I really want to be a legal tech professional. I very much fell into it. I was looking for an internship my senior year of college, and the marketing team at Sherman and Sterling was looking for somebody to just come in twice a week. And my job as an intern was to do their press clippings, where I had to go in and I had to highlight all of the press clippings for any mentions of a lawyer at Sherman and Sterling. I had to put it into a yellow folder, send it through the international pouch around the world, and then log the media mentions into what at the time was an enormous Word document that now I cringe to think about how very, very manual the process was.
But that's it got incredible.
I had taken a web development course my senior year, and Sherman was looking to build their first website. And it, you know, practically the CMO walked out of his office doing like the look into the distance and said, does anybody know how to build a website? And with my experience having built my little Hello World site, I raised my hand and was like, totally. And I graduate in 3 weeks, so you should hire me. And so that's what I did. The summer I graduated from college, I hand-coded with very, very kludgy HTML that I was learning as I went, the Sherman and Sterling, I think one of their very first websites.
That's amazing. What a great story. Let's dive into the topic at hand, and let's talk a little bit about, obviously, there's so much going on with technology, but what you guys are focused today is actually pretty interesting, which is using technology to create legal service products online. Talk a little bit about what that looks like and where people should get started.
So I worked for one lawyer who once said to me, can you just put my brain in a box? And that phrase has kind of stuck with me because I think there's an element when we think about legal services that we do think that when we insert technology, we might not be respecting or enabling the amazing talents of the legal professionals. But often what I find, and as I sit with lawyers across the spectrum, I find that that idea of getting their brain in a box, of honing their legal thinking and thinking about it as decision trees, as workflows, they're going to hone their expertise and it helps them be better lawyers. But beyond that, it also helps their practice. If they're in a bigger firm, it's going to raise the profile of their practice. It's going to financially, if they can offer more services for clients at a lower fee, it's going to help with the firm financials, their practice financials. And then, you know, we all know about the FT innovation competition. The things that really move the needle with a firm brand are ways that they're thinking about client service and ways that they're really moving towards a more digital delivery model. So all of those come together to really make this idea of take the brain in the box, it be something that people at firms of all sizes can be looking to deliver and hopefully deliver quickly so that the lawyers can prioritize the things that are hard and gnarly and tricky and the things that are quick and that they've done a million times can be done by technology.
I love it. So Kate, you referenced earlier a study that was released by PartnerVine. Tell us a little bit about that study and what it looked like in terms of the value of productized legal services and what that brings to law firms. And then maybe perhaps you can talk through some real world examples that you have seen on how law firms are using technology to deliver services.
Sure. So PartnerVine, I'll do my plug for PartnerVine. They work with a lot of big corporations and with big firms to help make their products available through a shared network. They recently released a study looking at the Global 100 and ranked very much kind of taking a chamber's ranking approach to what's the value that those services are providing for these giant corporations. And the corporations are loving it because they're able to get reports on how much they're using the legal tech tools that their kind of partner firms are providing. And the law firms are then getting more feedback and more data on the usage of their technology. So the study found that over 50% of the Global 100 are delivering legal services with software. 43% are productizing and selling them. And 20% are actively optimizing their own delivery of legal services. And I think these numbers continue to increase year on year. If you look at that report and just my own experience, we've got really a spectrum of services, which I think is great. So anybody who's thinking about this and hopefully listening to this and thinking, well, mine's not so interesting, anywhere on the spectrum means you're getting started and you're thinking about it. So at one end of the spectrum, we have the fairly well-known joint venture with Littler Mendelsohn and Neota Logic, where they're doing a product called Compliance HR. This book's a lot of HR tools available for companies to subscribe to and continue to use on a regular basis so they can check all of the regulations, which are complex and changing regularly. They can check those online. Other obvious examples, there's a lot of firms offering startup law toolkits so that if an organization is just looking to incorporate themselves, they can quickly fill in some questionnaire. They can get all the documents they need to get started. And they now have a relationship with that firm. So as that company continues to grow, they're developing it and nurturing that relationship. Further down, we've got some that are just trackers, keeping people up to date on regulations, which sounds a little bit like a client alert. But when you're starting to do it and you're honing it, you're focused on the industry and how you can serve your clients better with up-to-date, urgent information they need to know, you're really providing a client service. I can keep going with examples, but I hope that starts to give an idea of the spectrum.
No, that's fantastic. You know, it occurs to me that it's not just about technology, but it's really about law firms thinking about new ways of doing business, right? Technology certainly is an enabler and can make things easier and build processes in a way that were not possible before. But technology is only going to get you halfway there. You have to be creative and innovative and figure out a different business model for some of the legal services that law firms offer. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I get excited about, and I know a lot of the folks listening are on that legal marketing side of the world and even lawyers, this opens you to thinking about productizing your work. It gets you thinking about subscription models and a whole different way of optimizing how you invest your time and how you're, I'm going to use air quotes, even though nobody can see me, selling your legal services in ways that don't drain, you know, your hours that you want to be living. You can really package them and you can deliver that differently. And for marketeers, this is an awesome opportunity to jump into that product marketing way of thinking. How can you hone your skills that are very much professional marketing, business development marketing, and think about products and product releases and building that excitement in a whole other skill set?
It is cool. As you mentioned, you started your career at Sherman & Sterling, where you built that first website. And, you know, you've deployed and managed legal marketing technology for over 20 years. What are some of the things you think people should consider when thinking about products and legal services?
So a lot of what I've talked about so far, guys, the front of the house, right? What are people seeing when they come to your website? What are they seeing when they subscribe? One of the things I love to do is nerd out about what's happening behind the scenes. And that is, after launching that first website, my next project was an interaction CRM. Thinking about your CRM, thinking about how you're connecting the dots for your internal systems, really prioritizing data, personalized service, getting very familiar with the financials inside your firm are going to be really, really key. I can't talk enough about how sexy CRM systems are, to the point that my boyfriend sometimes gets annoyed. CRM systems are really key. And thinking about, you know, who's in there, what data do you have, how can you get more data? So if you're launching some of these products, don't let anything just launch and you not make sure that those visitations, how long people are spending, what they're doing is coming back in your system, and that you're really targeting in the same way a sophisticated, you know, B2C organization would do it. You're really targeting your client base as granularly as you can. You know who's in an HR position at a client that really needs to know that a regulation in the state where they do operations is getting that alert. And that sometimes it's easy to drown in how much data you're actually going to need to collect, but there's a lot of data sources now. I won't use the Gen AI words, but you can get a lot. You can get a lot of data. You can subscribe the resources to keep it up to date, and then you can get very, very intense with how you are mining that, maintaining it, connecting it with as many systems as you can to really make sure that you're reaching the right people.
Do you want to start a successful podcast that will generate leads for your law firm? At Good2Be Social, we work with many different law firms and help them to produce and promote their podcasts. Podcasts today are more popular than ever. In fact, today's internet users routinely use podcasts on a monthly, weekly, or even daily basis to stay informed and be entertained. As this medium continues to grow, law firms don't want to fall behind and need to move beyond traditional written content and onto the digital airwaves. Unfortunately, when it comes to podcasting, many legal marketers aren't sure about where to start. With our latest ebook, The Law Firm Guide to Podcasting, readers can learn how to choose a format, a topic, and a name that will get you noticed, how to select and reach out to potential guests, the technology and the recording basis you know to produce a successful show, as well as how to measure the success of your podcast. So hurry now, go to the Good2Be Social website and look for the Law Firm Guide to Podcasting ebook. And I think that's sort of the challenge, right, is your CRM system is only as good as the data that's in it. And for a long period of time, I think firms struggled to populate their CRM with data, right? Lawyers traditionally don't want to deal with the CRM platform, not really using it the way they're supposed to. And so it became sort of difficult to really get the data that you needed into CRM. Now we're seeing you know, with email scraping and other types of technologies where just by doing your day-to-day work, you're sort of populating smart CRM systems with information that then can really be leveraged across the firm and across, you know, the organization in ways that were not possible. What do you see, you know, in terms of CRMs and specifically the use by law firms in the next 5 years? Do you see that continuing to grow? Like, what would you predict will happen?
I'm not sure I'm the best person to predict. I can say, and it actually became for you to also say what you're seeing. I feel I'm hearing a lot more from savvy entrepreneur lawyers who are talking about their CRM systems a lot more like my sales guys used to when I was at tech companies 5 years ago, which was very much the don't call your mother without checking the CRM kind of philosophy. So I'm seeing more sophistication with young lawyers who have that entrepreneurial spirit that they think to check it, which I think is key, and they think to populate it. I do think there's going to be a lot of technology that's going to take forward how targeted we can be. And you are much more the expert around the account-based marketing and how we can start to connect the dots with the signals we're getting from people externally engaging with the materials that we've put outside our firms that we're now getting in real time. Hey, this person who has a real need is currently on one of our systems. Let's reach out and not let's reach out 3 weeks from now when we're sending a client alert, but let's reach out today with a relationship partner and make sure we know that that client's in good shape. And I don't think it's that far away. Again, I'll turn that on you and see whether you see the same emerging with your client base.
I agree. I don't think it's far away, especially the more entrepreneurial lawyers realize the power of the data and CRM. And, you know, not just for marketing purposes. You know, we were talking about, you know, legal technology services. And if you see trends happening in your CRM, if you see enough people in there that have the same needs or requirements, you know, that can help you to imagine services that you would have never thought of before. So I agree with you. I think it's accelerating in an incredibly fast way. You know, AI, good or bad, and obviously it's been in the news a lot lately, especially for lawyers. But, you know, I think all of these different things are really changing not just the way lawyers market themselves, but also the way in which they deliver value to their clients and the type of services that they can offer.
And we're dropping the barriers. We're dropping those barriers to the thing that we always heard, you know, 10 years ago, the CRM data couldn't be trusted. If we can get rid of that because we know the data is available and we know it can be constantly filled up, then you can really use it.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Let's switch course a little bit because I'm really fascinated by your involvement in the boards that you're a part of. Talk a little bit about the immigration not-for-profit. I know also when you were at Validity, you were going through the process of getting them a B Corp certification. Talk a little bit about that and why you think it's important for people to, you know, think about these types of things as a way to give back to the community and to give back to people that are maybe not as lucky as some of us are.
Thanks, guys. So I'll take a quick personal journey on this one, and then I have some tips for people who are interested in this. During the pandemic, one of the things that I somewhat struggled with was feeling very focused on taking care of my kids, trying to do as much of my job as I could, and kind of feeling a disconnection with the world at large, other than what I saw in the news, which I couldn't have impact for. Harvard Business School did an online course on sustainability, which I signed up for, and just for me kind of blew up this thinking about sustainable business practices beyond, you know, just, you know, environmental issues or climate issues, but very much kind of meeting people where they were and being able to make micro changes to their business that have a bigger long-term impact and the value that that brings to everyone. So with that kind of in my head, as you mentioned, at Validity, I got them on a course to think about the B Corp certification. For those of you who don't know, B Corp is a third-party certification. Any organization can go through the process. It's a couple hundred questions that you have to answer about how your organization operates. But it also serves as a really good guideline for where can you start to move the needle in business practices. One of the things that was in there was tracking volunteer hours and encouraging people to get involved. I've worked with lawyers my whole life. They have a mandate to do pro bono hours, but oftentimes that doesn't trickle down very much to the professional staff at their firms. And even at Validity, it wasn't, we often were engaged in pro bono work, but it wasn't something that I was getting time to really volunteer and do. So I found this group called Taproot, which connects professionals who have real professional business skills with nonprofit organizations. And I got lucky and I found one that was in the legal industry at the time that I was looking, which is Justice for Our Neighbors, which is an immigration group. I would recommend if you just sign up with Taproot, there's a couple other that I'll include. They just put your resume on file and they help you find matches that help you hone your skills. Sometimes it's a 2-week project. Sometimes it's a more intensive project, but it can help you get experience that moves the needle in an industry that you care about with a service that you care about, and you can screen them. But I found it was very fulfilling and it helped me bridge that gap between wanting to continue to grow professionally and wanting to give back. So one other one that I would like to plug, there's a group called Volunteer Lawyers for Justice that has open applications, similar setup, but very focused in the legal industry. They'll let you put in an application. They just keep your resume on file. And they're constantly looking for people who can help with grant writing, for people who can come help with events, people who can help with digital marketing. So important for these organizations that are really underserved on the professional side and helps you connect the dots with the work that you're doing already in the legal industry.
I love it. Well, we will make sure to add those to the show notes. So if people are interested, they can check them out as well. Kate, we're running out of time, but I did want to ask about what you're doing today because I think it's fascinating. Talk a little bit about Senti Advisors. What are you guys doing and why should our listeners care about what you guys are doing?
Thanks, guys. So Senti Advisors, we are flat fee consultants. We join groups in the legal industry as an extension of their team to help them do a lot of this prototyping. We partner with many, I would almost say most of the legal tech vendors, as well as just some general tech solutions. We love the Microsoft suite. And we keep a sandbox of all of the tools that a firm might want to use that are already approved by security teams that have been through our vetting process as tools that are really well designed to help deliver legal services in this environment. And then we work with clients who want to launch legal service products but don't have the staff, don't have the team, want to just play with a couple, you know, an idea in a couple different systems to get that very concrete example. You can sit with a lawyer and actually click through a working prototype, get to that minimum viable product a little bit faster. So that's what we do. We're a bunch of board gamers. We have a lot of fun doing it. That's what we're doing right now.
I love it. I love it. All right. Well, Kate, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a pleasure having you on. And we will have a link over to Senti as well as information on how to get in touch with you. For our audience, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to make sure you don't miss any future episodes, please go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. You can subscribe there. You can also check out some of our past episodes. Kate, thank you so much again for your time. Loved having you on the show. And hopefully we'll have you back sometime in the future, or maybe we can convince Ryan to come on and talk to us.
That would be great. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Kate. Have a great day. Thank you, everyone.
You too.